Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
That's never,
I don't know what the hell that little bloop in the beginning was.
I don't either, but I do know what the yelling was. It was you asking me if we want to redo that.
Yeah, because should probably do that.
No, I don't care. So,
all right. I thought you had our mics down because you normally shit.
Yeah. Well, how long has it been since you and I recorded? Like years.
A whole year has passed.
I know.
To you guys, nothing's gone. Nothing's changed.
Yeah.
To us, it's been about 3 weeks.
Been about 3 weeks. And I'm a little rusty on this one.
Hey, before we start off this show,
yes.
I have something I need to announce.
Okay.
Two of our listeners, Sean and Gina, are getting married.
Sean and Gina are getting married?
And we would like to congratulate Sean Lucas and the future Gina Lucas.
That is awesome. I don't think I've ever been part of a show where two, you know, listeners have gotten married. So I'll... Congratulations, guys. Should we make like a reception speech?
No. I was going to say, you know what they need to do for their honeymoon? They need to go to adamandeve.com and use the promo code STATIC. That's what Sean and Gina need to do. And then they would get 50% off of a single item. They would get free shipping in the United States. They would get 3 DVDs to use on their honeymoon. And they'd even get a free mystery gift that they could probably use on their honeymoon. So, Sean and Gina, use the promo code STATIC at adamandeve.com. You see how smoothly I went into that?
Yeah, about as smooth as an alligator's back. Seriously, Sean and Gina, congratulations. We wish you guys all the happiness in the world. And if we're one of the interests that you two share with one another, I hope we continue to be an interest that you two share with.
I think it would be really funny if they're totally divided. Like, you know, Sean's totally on my side of everything, and Gina's totally on your side with everything.
That would be awesome. And I also just realized how awkward it was for me to go, you know what, Sean and Gina, on your wedding night, I hope you share yourselves with us. Wow.
No, that's you being greedy.
If that happens, we would have to go to adamandeve.com and
use the promo code STATIC.
Yep, and you could order. But they sell gigantic tubs of lube.
Sure. Let's actually move into the topic. We're getting into way too personal shit.
Yeah, we are. Anyway.
All right. We've actually talked not about this topic, but we brought it up in other topics.
I know. I'm amazed.
The arcade.
I'm amazed.
We've never had an episode on arcades. Or not just our arcade memories, but a little history of arcades and things that the modern generation, you guys are just missing out on, man. You guys are really missing out on some of this arcade shit. Like, do any of you remember this from an arcade, not from a port?
Oh, that sound every time you dropped a coin.
Fuck the subscribers. Everyone gets a paper from me.
Oh. Not me. I always tried to, you know, do what this guy's doing and be nice to the subscribers.
I gave free papers to everybody. Everyone got a paper as far as I'm concerned.
I always hated crossing that road with the little hot rods. Always the same blonde in the hot rod.
I always fell into the sewer grates, too. Sewer grates always crashed me.
Oh, yeah, and those stupid VW Beetles.
Right. I love the fight moves.
Oh, yeah. Now for the greatest part ever.
I hated this part. This actually was harder to me than the actual houses.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's enough. So for those that didn't recognize it for any given reason, what were we just listening to, Josh?
Paperboy.
Yeah.
In the arcade. And now those of you who only played it on a home port, this is one of the big, big differences between arcades and playing games at home. An arcade game in general had just a normal control scheme. But there were specialized games that had specialized controls.
Oh, yeah.
And this, you had a handlebar with the brake with your hand, and you didn't have buttons. You had, it's like you were riding a bike that you weren't pedaling.
Exactly. You had the handlebar, and it was, they also made a similar one for a couple of motorcycle racing games where you actually had to pull back on the throttle. You had the brake in the clutch and everything like that.
There was even one, maybe it was Road Rash, where you actually sat on a motorcycle and it moved around.
That was, let's see, Hang On did that. Super Hang On did that. And I don't know if Road Rash did or not. But yeah, Stun Runner. And that all started. Do you know what game started the sit down or sit in control cabinet scheme?
I don't know it, but I know that Tron, the discs of Tron, had a cabinet you actually went into with all the purple neon.
Yeah,
that and it kind of immersed you into, you know, like you were in a Tron.
But the first game, it was a Vector Graphics game. There's your hint.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that Star Wars game.
This is the very first one that you could sit in a little cockpit.
And see, again, I've got that on a home port. And it's just, it's not the same. You know, these games don't feel right without the custom controls.
Now, let me say this. To all of our audience members, I certainly am not advocating going out and finding the multiple arcade machine emulator, or MAME, as it's commonly known. It's completely illegal to download the thousands and thousands of ROMs that you can find online with a little bit of searching. And again, don't use that MAME program. It's completely illegal.
You are like you are as subtle as a Republican coming out for gay marriage.
Yeah. Anyway,
but a little bit more about specialized controls. Other ones I remember with the specialized controls. Remember Afterburner, where more specifically Afterburner 2, where you actually sat in the cockpit that rotated and spun around.
Oh, Afterburner did that too.
I see. My arcade never had an Afterburner machine. We had Afterburner 2, which had one of those.
But yeah, that came later when they were like, crap, people are leaving the machine, the arcades to go game at home. What do we do? Well, Afterburner came out, and you would actually tilt backward and forward and then roll kind of side to side in the full cockpit. And it was scary.
Out.
Oh, yeah. You also had games like Outrun, where the entire cabinet would turn as you turn the wheel. I'm sorry, Outrun tilted. But it was so as you were going around the curve, it felt, you know, you're thrown against the side.
Yeah. And like other ones I remember that, like, I love Smash TV. Smash TV is one of my all-time favorite arcade games. And the control scheme, you didn't have buttons on that. You had one joystick to control with the direction of your character, and one joystick to control the direction you shot.
Right.
And like the game, I've got it on GameCube as well, and the analog sticks are kind of like that, but they're not nearly as responsive with your thumbs as was the arcade cabinets. Far more responsive.
Well, again, the first game to do that was Robotron 2042.
Which Smash TV is actually a sequel to.
Well, yeah, which Smash TV is a sequel to. But, yeah, oh, God, my friend Dave and I just
played
that.
Robotron 2084.
2084, thank you. My friend Dave and I played the hell out of Smash TV, and I remember there was that one. You made it to the very end, and it was the big head.
It was actually the host put on to Mutagen Man's, like, track tank feet.
Now, another game that I really, really loved because... And this was, early to mid-90s, was one called Narc.
Where you're a narcotics officer and you're just blowing the shit out of scum. It's basically, what if Death Wish were a game?
Exactly. I mean, there was, you could always, like, stop the guys and try and arrest them if you wanted to.
What the fuck fun was that?
Busted. But, you know, it was, but I'll tell you, when it comes to specialized controls, there is one that I will never forget.
Okay.
Dark Arcade. All right, you're walking down the line, and a very familiar theme catches your attention. And you look over, and it's this weird airplane yoke kind of thing with triggers and a thumb button and another button that says call truck. And it was... Oh, yeah, Spy Hunter.
They've been trying to make this into a movie for years now. They want The Rock to star in it.
Stupid motorcycles.
Get out of my way, fuckers.
Exactly. I always shot the civilians. Either that.
Well, what's the point of having a license to kill if you're not going to use it, right?
That's right. See, these cars were nice and easy. It's the ones that you would come and they would get the little spiky things on the wheel. Those always made me mad.
But yeah, I do remember Spy Hunter. Never a big Spy Hunter guy.
Oh, I was.
And see, the one I loved. Now, I actually got so good at this game. I could, and this game was not an easy game. This was a hard game to master.
I'm going to have to take your... I'm not familiar with this one, I'll be honest.
This one also had specialized controls. You didn't have a joystick. You had a round button that you pushed down on to fire, and you could rotate 360. So okay. you didn't have a joystick. You had more like a... just
like a paddle, almost.
Yeah, almost like a paddle, and pushing down was the fire. Huh. I got so good at this, and it probably took me quite a few dollars to get this good, I could beat this on one quarter in the arcade.
You're kidding. Now, for any game, that is an accomplishment. Any game.
And I had friends that would be like, I dare you. And then it's like, yeah, pay up, fuckers.
I always love the ones that are like, I'll bet you can't get...
so much score. Or...
right. Oh, well, yeah, the one that I always got my friends on, because I always bet them that they couldn't beat it, was Defender.
Because you can't, for one thing.
You can't, for one thing. And for another, it's, I mean, hard. Legendary for being one of the hardest arcade games out there.
I've read a book on the history of video games. The average play time for a guy on Defender,
yeah,
it was built to be about 8 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Between deaths. That was the average play time, was 8 seconds between deaths.
Oh, yeah.
And they said rarely a game lasted more than a minute and a half.
That's right.
With your three guys. So play this, though. This, I got so goddamn good at this.
Did you find the guy?
Did you guys recognize this? Come on, collecting Zenny? Goddamn lizard, man.
Alright,
so this is Forgotten Worlds.
Forgotten Worlds, okay.
Now, again, I have this on both Sega Genesis and an actual arcade port at home for the Xbox, the PS2. And the problem is, again, with that specialized button,
because
you have a complete 360 you can rotate in to shoot in, and there's shit that comes at you from the top, the bottom, behind, you know, 30 degrees from the bottom of the screen and whatnot.
Yep.
You have one analog stick to turn to fire with, and one to move your character around the screen. And again, it does not work right, or I'm just so used to the arcade that it feels wrong to me.
Now, what's funny is you mentioned Zenny.
Zenny is the financial currency,
right,
that you collect, which has been brought over into lots of different games.
Yeah, well, that was, yeah, I mean, it, all over the place, because that's what you collected on another one now.
Which is by the same company. So I think that was sort of like their universal currency in games, yeah, is Zenny.
Now, you want to talk about something really, really cool. My Aunt Carolyn, she and Uncle Rudy had four of my cousins. Down in the basement of their house, this was the most awesome house in the world. They had a pool table. Pretty cool. They had an air hockey table, which I still, to this day, suck at air hockey. But
I can actually see you sucking at that.
Yeah, I was terrible. But they had an air hockey table, a bumper pool table, if you remember bumper pool.
I remember bumper pool, yes.
I love bumper pool. They had an actual jukebox, And by the way, for those wondering, he was a neurosurgeon, so
he could afford everything.
He could afford this. And they had a pinball game that was Red Wings. It was Red Wings or Indians themed. I don't remember which one, but it was hockey, and it was built around Wayne Gretzky.
The two pinball games I loved more than anything else are the Judge Dredd 1990.
Which you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, which I posted on Facebook. I love that. And Earthshaker.
Yeah, I can see that one. But no, they had the Wayne Gretzky pinball table, and they had this. And this was a later addition to it, but it's a little known game.
You can see graphically how it's very similar to Forgotten Worlds, can't you? Definitely the same people. I got this on a home system, so I never played a coin-op of this one.
See, I played the coin-op. It's Black Tiger, for those of you wondering. But I played a coin-op of this one because it was the greatest thing. You walk up to the cabinet, and you just tap a little button down by the coin slot, and that would put your coin in, so to speak.
Well, and see, okay, here's something that our younger listeners need to realize, and even older listeners tend to forget when we talk about the difference between arcades and, like, home consoles. Scott, and that's a game built for the arcade is a totally different design than a game built for home play.
Oh, yeah.
Because in the arcade, they're meant to, in that book I read, they said an arcade game is designed to, under no circumstances, have a quarter last longer than 3 minutes.
Right.
Before it eats through your guys.
Right.
So, for one, arcade games are far more brutally hard than a home system game, or at least they used to be. And the other thing was, they're designed to kill you a lot faster than, say, a Mario game.
Right. I mean, the home console wants to keep you playing because they want to keep you engaged because
you've got to get your $50 worth out of that game.
Exactly. In the arcade, $50 worth out of the game is 45 minutes of gameplay.
More or less. Or you know, the one that always got me, and I'm sure you'll recognize this even though we don't have the soundbite, Elf Shot the Food.
Oh, my gosh. How did I not
fucking Gauntlet, the arcade machine? I love that. Now, yes, it has had later sequels and whatnot, although Gauntlet Legends is still fucking awesome. I got great, because Gauntlet Legends did something awesome. You could save your game.
Oh, yeah.
You could remember, you could save your game. That was awesome. But Gauntlet on the NES, just the NES and the Genesis, it's not the same. It really isn't. There you go.
Oh, yeah. And I realize my phone is ringing.
Welcome. Treasure, 100 points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
Warrior shot the food.
Ooh.
Ooh. And this game is another one of those unenders. Technically, there is no ending.
Save potions for later use.
There technically is no ending to this.
Yeah, you just because keep going and keep
well, once
going
you get to
going.
Level 99, it just cycles back through.
Right.
So this game could technically just go on and on and on and on. And that was the other thing about arcade games. Yes, there were games where you could beat them. And then there were other ones that were just, you play until you can't play no more. My friend of mine, 5 hours on one quarter of Discs of Tron, and he finally just, I gotta pee like you wouldn't believe. I'm just giving up. I just give up. You know, the game just kept going and getting progressively harder, and it's just like, I gotta pee. I can't do this.
The one that my wife and her friend Kate played the hell out of was Bubble Bobble.
See, remember Logan DeClean that we used to work with at 26?
Yeah, yeah.
He that was his all-time favorite game. He used to always, we'd talk Bubble Bobble.
Now I'm not talking about because there was Bubble Bobble, and then there was another one called Bust a Move, where you actually shoot
I don't remember Bust a Move.
The Bust a Move was the one where you had like the colored marbles and you shoot and you match the colors and the marbles fall.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's 900 of those free that you can free to play online.
Right.
And shit
right.
Now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the arcade version of that was called Bust a Move and it starred the two little dinosaurs from Bubble Bobble.
Oh, okay. I remember the NES dirty one, Bubble Bath Babes. Remember that?
No, I don't. What the hell was Bubble Bath Babes?
It was an unlicensed NES cart that was basically the same thing, but there was a scantily clad 8-bit woman at the bottom, and the higher you got, the less clothes she got, and she actually got nude. It was the first nudity on like the NES, but it was an unlicensed cart.
Now, speaking of games like that, I used to see these games not so much arcades, but you see them in bars.
Yeah, because again, bars had a different kind of coin-op because obviously you're going for a totally different audience
right.
than an arcade is.
You might have a tabletop coin-op like a Pac-Man with the player on either side.
That's where Pac-Man made all its fucking money.
Oh, yeah.
It was in bars.
Oh, yeah.
And Pong. Pong, too.
And Pong.
Pong was
a
big bar.
But yeah, the tabletop games as opposed to the upright cabinets were more popular.
Because you could set your drink on.
And every freaking pizza place I knew had some tabletop game.
Yes.
On it. But the ones that the bars had specifically, do you remember a game called Kix? Q-I-X. Kix?
Not off the top of my head, no. I remember Klax.
Well, with Kix, you're this little sparkle, and you got to go out and kind of fill the screen, and there's a spider trying to kill you in the middle and all kinds of stuff like that. Well, Kix was a popular formula because in bars, you would go out and try and fill the screen, and the more screen you filled, the higher points you got, the more likely you were to move on to the next level.
Okay.
But whenever you filled a box, it would reveal part of a digitized photo of, you know, like a Playboy centerfold or something.
They still have my local Pizza Hut has one of those. It's not the same thing, but it's similar. Okay.
Yeah, and or you would have like the card games where you would play cards and it would be basically strip poker.
Now they're all those gambling machines.
Yeah.
With the video gambling shit.
Yeah, it's
I don't get that.
I don't either. I mean, even a gas station I know has a couple of those basically
the gas
video
station
slots.
With the Papa John's I always go to. And there's always some old guy sitting there just feeding dollars into this thing. And it's like, what? I don't get you people. But yeah. So let's talk a little bit about arcades themselves, not just arcade games.
Okay.
Arcades started their rise in the early 80s. And you had your staples, Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Galaxian,
asteroids,
things like that. And then you had the game that it was not even as much of a game as it was just an interactive experience that redefined everything. Dragon's Lair.
Oh, yeah.
It was like you were playing a cartoon. You were barely playing it. You basically had to hit a button or move the joystick at just the right moment to cue the next scene. But that was can we call that graphics since it was pure cell animation?
Well,
call that graphics since it was actually played literally off of a Laserdisc?
It was cell animation. This was the beginning of the Laserdisc game Switch that kind of had a fad for a while but then died. But some of the big things about Dragon's Lair, your animation was done by Don Bluth. Who was a huge name at Disney. And he also did Space Ace.
Yep, this is right after he left Disney.
And you can't look at them and you just, it reeks of Black Cauldron and
Secret of Nim.
Secret of Nim and some of the other, you know, I was trying to think of the other Disney title, the one with Merlin and Arthur.
Sword in the Stone. He also did the Robin Hood.
Yeah, and the
Robin Hood one.
You know, the ones that weren't
with Sir Hiss.
The cells of Robin Hood that weren't stolen from other Disney movies. Yeah. But you had that one that was out front and center. But what I really loved about arcades, but even before that happened, was, you know, arcades, everybody, it was kind of a weird thing because a lot of adults thought of them as being a place for kids. But then you walk in and it's a bunch of 20 and 30 somethings playing the games, smoking their cigarettes. It was always a smoky place. I have no idea why.
See, ours, they didn't allow smoking because the smoking's bad for the machines. So it's just stupid to do that.
Ours was Aladdin's Castle, and they allowed smoking.
Ours was Loose Change.
Oh, okay.
And it was, see, here was the thing. To us, the arcade was a meeting place.
Yeah.
It was a gathering place for high school students, and there were games to play, too.
Yeah.
And see, ours, the one in Sturgeon Bay, was two blocks from the school.
Oh.
There was an entire semester I never came back from lunch. My friend Jamie and I, we'd go to the arcade at lunch, and we'd be like, you know what? I don't need English. I don't need to speak English. Yeah. I need to play Earthshaker.
Exactly.
I mean, dude, when you keep winning free games, you can't walk away from a free game. You feel like you're being cheated if you do, you know?
Let's see here. Where did I play? Oh, well, you know, I went to high school at a college. What does every college have? A student center. What was in the basement of our Ball State Student Center? At the time, back when it was cool, they had a bowling alley that they've ripped out. And in the bowling alley was a nice little arcade corner.
Bowling alleys always had arcades, yes.
Yeah. And we would go and over, you know, get our lunch upstairs, walk downstairs, maybe go bowling. Which we did for PE too. That was cool. But nonetheless,
we used to go bowling for physical education. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun. Like, it's much more fun than normal, but okay.
It's the only game I know where I can sit back, drink a beer, have a cigarette, and call myself an athlete. But nonetheless, I love bowling. But yeah, we'd go get our lunch upstairs and then go down, and we would play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The four-player?
The four-player.
On that same token, no pun intended, do you remember the six-player double-screen X-Men?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I loved the shit out of that game.
Oh, yeah.
But see, again, games like that are built to be fucking hard. They're meant to kill you constantly. And it was rare when you saw somebody good enough to last 10 straight minutes on a single life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it happened,
mm-hmm.
But not as often as you would think. Like today, you can see somebody going through Halo on legendary mode without getting shot once. And you go, yeah, I want to see that fucker try, you know, an 80s arcade game. I want to see him try Defender, and we'll see how fucking long he lasts.
Here's Berserk. Meet Evil Otto.
I hated Evil Otto. That fucking bouncing head.
That little bouncing smiley face that if you spent too long in a room, he would come after you.
But see, the thing with arcades was they did attract, like I said, they were gathering places, they did attract undesirable elements as well. You've got a bunch of teenagers. Teenagers like to get high. So they always, the local weed dealer also hung out there, which meant the cops routinely busted the arcade, which meant that gave the parents the excuse, I don't want you hanging out at that arcade. There's weed dealers there. At least, you know, I'm going from my experiences in Sturgeon Bay, and it's like that was a regular thing. And then mine got even worse when they decided to add the pool hall next door. I'm just going to write and say it. Pool halls do not attract a high-class clientele. Yeah,
pool starts with P, rhymes with T, which stands for trouble.
Okay, that was terrible.
Music Man reference, man. Come on.
I'm not Jewish.
Music Man reference.
All right.
Jewish? Wait, not Fiddler on the Roof reference.
But so once the pool hall was added, there were drunk dudes.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out there constantly, just smoking up the joint.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm not joking, they had prostitutes that started to hang out in the corner of the pool hall. And that was pretty much the end of our arcade. And it was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? That, you know, the pool hall was supposed to be the savior of the arcade, bring in all this extra capital. And all it did is drive every kid away because no parent was going to let their kid hang out at that pool hall with the arcade attached
to it. Not even the one turning tricks in the corner?
Well, maybe that parent.
Daycare? I don't need a daycare.
It also didn't help that one of the people running the pool hall was one of the weed dealers. That also didn't help the establishment.
That was not as uncommon as you think.
Well, because it's kind of a perfect cover for
the 80s.
Yeah,
it really is.
It really is. You know, you can be giving them change, in quotes, and there's a little baggie attached to that change,
and you've,
too.
And let's face it, you've got all those nice tabletop games with a nice glass cover. Perfect place to cut your lines of cocaine.
And see, I actually, a guy thought I was doing coke at the at the arcade in Green Bay once. In the 90s, I had a cold, and I'm sitting here watching a Mortal Kombat game, just, you know, waiting for my turn, and I'm going, and I'm rubbing my nose, and I'm going, guy comes up to me, he goes, man, you got any more? I'm like, what, snot? What, you need some phlegm? What the fuck? It's like, seriously, and I didn't have the beard yet. It's like, I look like a cokehead? What the fuck?
You are not nearly energetic enough to be a cokehead.
It's like, no, I had a fucking runny nose. That was my goddamn problem, you fucking douche.
But anyway.
But what were some of the memories of why, I mean, why did your arcade go bye-bye?
It was financial. Was a big part of it. First of all, the mall that it was in, because this is the one in Muncie, the mall that it was in went non-smoking. And so people couldn't hang out and smoke and play their games. And there was no direct outdoor from the arcade to the street. So if you wanted to smoke secondly, really it just it died with the rest of arcades because everybody went home and played. It was the NES that killed it, frankly.
And see, I don't agree with that because arcades hung on for a long time after the NES. I think it's once the Sega and the Super Nintendo came in that's where the real chunks were taken out of the arcade, because up to that point, another big difference other than gameplay with an arcade versus home at that time was, with the exception of the Neo Geo, which I'll talk about in a minute, arcade graphics and sound were just light years above what the NES or the Sega Master System or the Atari 7800 could ever come close to making.
Oh yeah.
So you it was a totally different experience to play the game. I mean, look at the game Rostin, and then look at its Sega Master System version. And you go, it's the same game, but it's not the same game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, if that makes any sense.
Well, look at Paperboy.
Yeah, I've got the NES, and it's just
or 720 or any of those that used, I think it was what, raster graphics or something, but yeah, you know, you had these gorgeous geometrical, you know, isometric views of a world, which in the 80s, I mean, hell, geometrical designs were going nuts all over the place, so it was incredible. And then you go home and you have this kind of pixelated, blobby.
It looks kind of like a person.
Yeah, kind of looks like the game, but not
and
really.
And then the music is all bleepy and bloopy instead of actual music.
As opposed to,
you remember, by the early 90s, games like 720 and the Judge Dredd pinball and that, they actually had CDs that played inside them. So you had real music coming out of them, not little bleeps and bloops.
And by the way, it was not digitized music. It was a synchronized CD track.
Yes, it was actually a CD, because that was one of the problems that both the Laserdisc games like Space Ace that we brought up and the CD-based soundtrack games had. When people lost, they'd get pissed and hit it, which would knock the laser out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why half the time the soundtracks didn't work. Because some fucker went and hit the game and knocked it out of sync.
See, that was another downfall to the arcade in the mall. Not only did you have the social stigma of
this is
where the bad people go, but man, when those laser games hit, and when, what was it, like International Laser Designs or whatever company it was, International Laser Games or something like that, when that fad hit, that owner went nuts, and he sold all of his classic cabinets.
That's not an uncommon story. I've heard that story at other places where they kind of, this is the future of gaming. Yeah. Kind of like how Sega made that idiotic decision, and keep in mind, I love the Sega CD, where they thought FMV was the new wave of gaming, and you know that's why the Sega CD concentrated on that, and it was like,
He sold all of his class. So instead of going in and playing Asteroids or Missile Command or Defender or, you know, even Space Invaders or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles later or the X-Men or Shinobi or any of those, you would walk in and you would have, you know, Wild McGee's Wild West Shootout or, you know, Police Enforcer
actually,
and...
Uh, There was that one that wasn't even in Laserdisc one. Remember that 3D hologram game that actually was in that bubble?
Time Sheriff or Time Traveler. And yes, that was a Laserdisc game. It was just projected on the, on the bubble. And yeah, we had that one was in there. And yeah, that was neat. It was like, well, that looks cool, but
not a whole lot of gameplay involved.
Yeah, not a whole lot of gameplay involved in this one.
But see, okay, then arcade started to die, and then one single game came in, and it completely redefined the arcade. Mortal Kombat!
Oh, yeah.
People were going to arcades specifically to play Mortal Kombat. I mean, you could have an arcade that's the only game, and that would be called an arcade because that's the only game anyone would play would be MK. Mortal Kombat was the single savior of the arcades for about 3 years.
And it's funny as can be, but our arcade had died by the time Mortal Kombat came out.
Okay.
It had been... They tried to reopen it as an indoor mini golf, and I don't know if you've ever tried to play mini golf in like a 24x24 room.
I haven't. Every time I've ever played mini golf, it's outside.
Yeah, there ain't a whole lot of challenge. But you know, they'd already closed it. However, one of the supermarkets in town got a Mortal Kombat game and set it up in their alcove. So it's nice and visible from outside because they have this big, almost like sunroom glass roof as you walk in, and then the market's in the back, and the sunroom has your outdoor stuff and
plants
all that.
And shit like that, yeah.
Well, they set up this Mortal Kombat thing so that it's nice and visible from outside. And you had kids coming into the supermarket and would play and get hungry or thirsty, so they'd go and
buy a soda and
buy
some pop
stuff
rocks
and do their things. And the supermarket, it increased their business almost 50%.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat. Now, Mortal Kombat, the first game, is a joke nowadays. People got to realize how different that was. The gore, to be able to tear somebody's skull off and set their skeleton on fire. This was something different. And then, of course, the Sega, not as much, but the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, censoring it just made people want to play the arcade game even more.
Oh, yeah. And it was shocking to a lot of people. I mean, this was a shocking change.
That is one of the reasons the rating system, the ESRB, exists, is because of that game.
And it was thanks to that game and the gore, because you remember that after Mortal Kombat, there were a bunch of games that came out that kind of ramped up the gore and went, okay, let's make this for adults now, not just kids.
Right, because Mortal Kombat was kind of the answer to Street Fighter II, which was insanely popular as well.
Right.
But they went, that's got cartoony graphics.
Yep.
It's got no blood, no gore. We're going to go, you know, like that's the teenage version. We're going to make this game for adults.
Yeah.
And they did. And unfortunately, kids flocked to it too. You know, and that started the whole Street Fighter II versus MK rivalry.
Right.
And then the other thing that was very different was when a lot of games were ported over, even nowadays, when they're called exact ports, and I'm using that in quotes, they've got some changes due to usually copyright issues. You mentioned Shinobi earlier.
Yes.
Do you remember the major differences between Shinobi on home systems and Shinobi in the arcade?
No, because I don't think I ever had it on the home system.
The bosses. In the arcade, remember, you had Man-Bat,
who
was clearly Batman.
Yes.
You had Man-Spider, who was clearly Spider-Man.
Yes.
You had, I think it was Gorezilla, clearly Godzilla. Well, Marvel, DC, and Toho sued the shit out of Acclaim for that, or whatever company it was. So those have all been changed for the home systems. You only get the Spider-Man, Batman, and Godzilla as villains in the arcade versions.
Neat.
And you saw multiples of those. Sometimes it was in jokes. You'd have like a joke villain only in the arcade version. And then you had, because the home systems, like we said, could not compete sound or visually, you remember, I've never known someone who's actually owned one, but do you remember the Neo Geo?
Oh, yeah.
The Neo Geo, for those that don't know, basically an arcade game is not the cabinet that you see. That's just that's the hardware. The arcade game is a giant motherboard. And what they would do is the motherboard is actually about the size of, say about a keyboard, a modern keyboard for a computer.
For the Neo Geo, yes.
And what they would do is they actually took that, put it into giant cartridges, and with the Neo Geo home system, you could literally play the exact arcade version. No graphic loss, no sound loss. Everything was the same as the arcade.
Yep. In fact, I remember there was a Neo Geo game that had a couple of fighting games on it. And
Neo Geo was huge with fighting games. Yeah,
they had a couple of fighting games on it, and then some other, I think a soccer game or something, in one of my local pizza places that we hung out and played it all the time. So,
but here was the problem with the Neo Geo at home.
It's damned expensive.
Now you have to put, now people, listeners, put this into $1991 dollars. A Super Nintendo is $150.
Yep.
A Sega Genesis is $170.
Yes.
A Neo Geo is $795.
Uh-huh.
And a Neo Geo game is $300 a piece.
Uh-huh.
That's why you never actually met anyone who owned one, because basically movie stars and rock stars were the only ones that could afford a fucking Neo Geo.
Oh, yeah.
So I liked the idea, but my God, was that price ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. But I always liked the Neo Geo, because, let's see here, Metal Gear, was that the name of it?
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug, yeah.
I'm like, no, Metal Gear is NES.
Yeah, Metal Gear is NES. But no, Metal Slug and Metal Slug X and stuff like that, we always played on
it. I played the shit out of the first Metal Slug.
Oh, yes. That little, you finally get the little tank, you're like, yeah!
Well, because, see, that's one of those ones that pulled both a Mortal Kombat and a Street Fighter 2. All the graphics are cartoony, but it's gory too. When you shoot guys, they blow up and set on fire, and it's like, so it's, the graphics are cartoony style, but it's gory for adults. Oh, so yeah, it was sort of going for both audiences.
Now I'll tell you one of my favorite games, and this is actually one of the slower paced games out there, and it was found in a little D&D shop.
Like an RPG store?
An RPG store with miniatures, and you could buy swords and stuff too.
Okay.
This place was down in a basement, underneath a basement.
All right.
it was classic comic book guy ran it, you know.
And worst shop ever.
Exactly. But back in the corner, in the back corner of a little darkened room, he had one pinball game that nobody ever played, because I don't know why, but it was some pinball game that wasn't very good.
Or it's one of those ones where only one flipper works.
Yeah, yeah.
That. You don't know it's broken. They have a Stargate pinball game at the laundromat,
yeah,
and only one flipper works. And it's like, oh, you took my 50 cents. You
exactly.
Suck.
Well, that was the deal with this one. And I'm pretty sure he had it because of the back glass art. It was some fantasy-themed, scantily clad woman in metal armor, you know. But then on the opposite side was probably one of the games that frustrated me and entertained me for hours.
Did it define your youth or just frustrate you?
It didn't really define my youth.
Okay.
But it was fun to play. Splatterhouse.
Ah, an original Splatterhouse.
Yes.
Yes, the game that most of us encountered on the TurboGrafx-16 with all the censorship and honestly, they didn't lose that much graphically, because the TurboGrafx-16 was a pretty powerful machine for its time. But yeah, I've never played Splatterhouse on an arcade cabinet. I've only ever played that on a TG-16.
But again, well, the thing that set Splatterhouse apart, number one, yes, it was gory. Yes, it was horror-themed. Yeah, you basically played Jason with the hockey mask and all. But it was a very slow, deliberate game. Instead of, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, you're just throwing
it's
crap
fast-paced.
All over the place.
That's a fast-paced game. But that's also a homemade
Splatter,
game.
Splatter, what?
That's a game made for the home system.
No. Ghosts and Goblins was in the arcades.
No, that was Ghosts and Ghouls.
Okay, whatever. But
they're different games.
Okay. But anyway, Splatterhouse, you know, you took time to walk up to the enemy, and then you would swing your giant knife or whatever, and you'd hear that, swah, you know.
And if you hit them with the 2x4, they flew at camera, too.
Oh, yeah.
To splat against the camera.
But I mean, but yeah, just kind of plodding your way through those hallways and that stupid room with all the little bloody tadpole things that would attack you.
How about the baby fetus?
Yeah, the baby.
When you cut the fetus out of that corpse and it comes after you, mm-hmm. Gee, I wonder why this game was heavily censored.
I have no idea.
Do you know what's ironic? All the censorship was not for the gore.
Okay.
All the censorship was the religious imagery.
Really?
The upside down cross you fight.
Yep.
Got redone. All the upside down crosses in the church and the weeping angel was taken out. Basically, that game was censored not for its gore, for the religious imagery is why that game got censored.
But it was still a very, very good game.
Yeah, that's one I can't ever personally say yes, I've played an arcade cabinet of that. But I'd love to find one.
Now, I'll tell you another arcade of my youth. And this was 89.
Okay.
You have never...
So we're starting high school at this point.
Yeah, 7th grade, 88, 89.
Okay, because 89 somewhere. Was my freshman year.
Okay, well, somewhere around there. But nonetheless, this is... I was in Japan.
Okay. Japanese like their games.
You have never been in an arcade until you've been in a Japanese arcade. And this particular arcade, it was in Saga Prefecture. It was at the top floor of a department store, like a four-story department store.
Well, then they had like a Macy's or kind of? Or like a Japanese equivalent of a Macy's?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Or a Japanese equivalent of a Target.
Okay.
But, you know, your first floor, you had food and daily needs. Second floor, you had furniture and stuff like
that.
Third floor was electronics. Fourth floor was arcade. And half of the arcade was dedicated to pachinko, the world's loudest, most annoying pastime in the world.
You don't have to explain that to me.
And the other half was dedicated to what was, at the time, top-of-the-line arcade games. Or, if you're a small child and you want to watch a little... short cartoon, you could step into a booth and pull the curtain closed and throw in your 50 cents and you get a little anime. Or there was the photo booth that you could edit your photos right there. Or it wasn't just games, it was all kinds of stuff, and it was loud and flashy and neon everywhere. And
well, see, and back in the 80s, the Japanese actually Pac-Man and Space Invaders caused a coin shortage.
Yes.
There was actually coin laundries said no one was doing laundry anymore because every goddamn coin in the fucking country was in a Space Invaders or a goddamn Pac-Man machine.
The 50 yen piece.
Yeah, it's like they actually ran out and they had to mint new ones because the country was just going Pac-Man fever.
Oh, yeah. And... yeah, it was a little bit late, but I always remember going in, and the guy that ran the place only spoke Japanese, which I didn't. But he was always, you know, but it was a block from my hotel. So if the flight was canceled, because I was there for the balloon thing, if the flight was canceled for the day, or if I had some spare time to myself, Mom, I'm going over to whatever the heck it was, and... up I went, and there she would find me later, you know, when she needed to.
Now, something I always like to do, and this is not changing the subject.
Yeah.
I always like to watch older movies that have scenes set in arcades. So I just go, I played that. Oh, I remember that game. Like Terminator 2. Have you seen this boy?
Oh, yes.
The scene where John Connor's in an Afterburner 2. Oh, he's in the full thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or do you ever see Nightmares? It was this this anthology movie that was supposed to be like a backdoor pilot for a TV series.
Nope.
It's one of the segments starred Emilio Estevez playing the Bishop of Battle game, and he eventually beat the game, so the game came alive and started attacking him.
Oh, okay.
And I always love, there's this one in the movie Brother from Another Planet, which we'll be doing on Live Nude Geeks in February.
Fun.
It's a blaxploitation movie, and I know we're going to get crap for this. For Black History Month, we're doing blaxploitation flicks. Yeah, there's no way this blows up in our face.
It's not going to go, oh, please tell me you're reviewing Boss Nigger.
No, first of all, that's not public domain, so no.
Oh, okay.
We are doing Brother from Another Planet and Voodoo Black Exorcist.
Oh, sweet.
But there's a scene in that because he's an alien. He can just like touch electronics and they fix.
Right.
They make him an arcade repairman. So he's playing with all these arcade cabinets. And I'm just going, oh, my God, that's so awesome.
You know, I might still have an Aladdin's Castle token or two around here somewhere.
My wife actually had a couple of loose change tokens somewhere because one of the guys that ran it was her cousin. So cool. She always got free tokens, that bitch. I had to pay. She got it for free.
Now, where was I? Oh,
I don't know.
Difference between the Japanese arcade and the American arcade. Japanese arcade?
Did they attract that low-class crowd that the American arcade did?
No. Salarymen and kids. And so middle class, you know, not so much the upper class, but
so they didn't quite understand why ours attracted the low end of society.
Well, the difference was the Japanese arcades are clean, smoke free, and brightly lit.
The exact opposite of an American arcade.
The exact opposite of an American arcade, and so it really wasn't seen as a low class place to go. It was, you know.
So you didn't have the hookers in the corner and the guys dealing weed in the back.
Well, you may have, but they were quiet about it.
Okay.
You know, they
didn't advertise
as a salaryman. You go in and you play pachinko and you win your little trinkets or whatever, or you win tokens, so you go over and play the arcade side.
Fair enough.
And then, you know, then you meet up with
the prostitute,
and you go down and hit a love hotel. But yeah, it was, you know, you also have to understand that the Japanese sex industry is a whole lot different and a whole lot cleaner than the
yes. But see, here's my thing in our last 3 minutes.
Sure.
I miss arcades. I don't care that you can get most of these games on emulators. I don't care if you can download them on the virtual arcade on the Xbox or the Wii or whatnot. The arcade had feel to it.
Right.
It's sort of the same thing with the Grindhouse movie movement. Well, why would Grindhouses exist when you can watch these movies at home? It's not the same. Part of it is playing the games.
Yep.
Part of it is the experience and the environment. Yeah. If I ever get famous and get enough money, I am opening an old-style 90s arcade, and no one's going to stop me. And I will stop the weed dealers and stuff, but I want an old arcade. I want people to experience the awesome that was the arcade. And I will do it at 25 cents a game, not this 50 cents a fucking game modern arcades do.
50 cents is cheap. I've seen some games out there where it's $1.50, $2.50 to play.
And they wonder why nobody plays.
Yeah, you know.
Fuck you.
There's no money in it.
Fucking assholes. God damn it. Because I found an arcade when my wife and I were traveling. I think it was in Oshkosh or Fond du Lac. They had, you know, it was a small thing with like 10 games. And I'm like, yeah, every game is 50 cents. Seriously, Donkey Kong, an arcade cart?
Yep.
You want me to play 50 cents to play fucking Donkey Kong? Are you serious?
One of the places that I absolutely loved playing arcade games, and it's one of the rare things that they haven't changed that much. Are you familiar with the Holodomes?
No.
It's a hotel type started by Holiday Inn. They call it the Holodome. Hotel rooms built around the outside, big dome across the middle, usually a good sized pool, a mini golf thing, some tables, and a little arcade.
No.
Well, they were out there, and if you go to a Holodome or an equivalent of another chain, you'll usually find the old arcade games are still there and still a quarter.
I want to own some. Do you remember the Aliens coin-op?
Oh, yeah.
That two-player? Hank Carlson, our friend, he has one in his basement.
Fun.
He has a working Aliens coin-op in his basement.
Fun.
And I've told him, one of these days, I'm gonna knock your ass out with some Rohypnol and come down with a dolly, and I'm taking that sumbitch from you.
Okay.
I will have that game.
All righty.
I will. On that note.
On that note.
we again wish Sean and Gina a happy marriage or engagement or whatever it is at this point. At this point, it's engagement, but you know what I mean. And go to AdamandEve.com. Use the promo code STATIC. Ha, ha, ha. What? Don't look at me like that.
No, don't use what.
I said STATIC.
There you go.
And then I said what when you looked at me. So
yeah, I know.
Shut up. Don't be stupid.
Sean and Gina, congratulations. Thanks for listening to the show. Keep listening. We will see you guys next week.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Oh, will you?
I hate when you do this, dragging out.
I'm doing it. I'm dragging it out.
Oh, I fucking hate you so much.
I don't care.